Hello, and welcome to Noise in the Megacity.
I'm Paulus, I'm your host, and I'm a noise researcher and sound artist in upstate New York. A central question, what is noise, drives this whole show? And that question is totally, unequivocally unanswerable, because it's relative. We create noise in our minds. It's a value judgment of sound, that the sound is destructive or just plain distracting. As someone who spent too much time in academics, I would love to define it into oblivion. Noise, what is it? But this is an exercise in letting it be what it is: slippery, undefined, weird, strange, other. And I will talk more about the significance of the megacity and its relationship to noise in future episodes. However, I am on the road, so this episode will be a transmission from Seoul, South Korea. I visited a space called Tteolim, where a particular kind of noise is made. It is the sound of breaking electronics, of circuitry being pushed to its limits on a very small sound system in a small, intimate space. Two of the regular performers, Hong Chulki and Ryu Hangil, talked to me for this piece, and I just want to say that Hong Chulki was the reason that I first started making noise performance, and Ryu Hangil has redoubled my excitement about doing just that. There's much more to come, many more conversations, sound recordings, and discussions therein. Until then, here is Hong Chulki and then Ryu Hangil, intermixed with sounds from Tteolim performances.
Okay, so name and who you are.
Okay, my name is Hong Chulki, and I make noise.
Great.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're so interested in it?
You don't have to be you, actually, to make feedback. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the point. Yeah, for me, because I'm not good at any instruments. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm still not really interested in playing music with computer. Mm-hmm. I'd like to learn about it in the future, but not now. So for me, feedback was kind of only instrument I can play with. Yeah, yeah. But I don't really need to practice it or, need to be really good at it. Yeah.
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 And when you have other jobs, that's it. That's
yes, nice. yes. Yeah, of course. If I learn instrument from my childhood, then yeah, maybe yeah, I can play with that instrument. But no, I. Yeah.
So you're working with feedback and guitar. When do you get your first turntable? That sounds like a DJ hip hop question.
Yes, yes. Because I have nothing to do with this, with DJ culture, or because I'm not really. I listened to some hip hop, but not really, really. Junyoung and I, we started on using CDs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, actually, it became his instrument now, but scratched CD, skipping noise.
And then you moved to the turntable?
Yeah, I moved to the turntable because it is, for me, it was more like a tangible. Yeah, you can touch. A CD, of course, you can touch also, but not really different, but a little bit more digital, yeah. I think, CDs. Yeah.
Different textures also, you can rub things.
Yes, yeah.
And so, do you remember that the like first experimenting with the turntable? Because, I mean, now you're like rubbing things on it. You have bits of sheet metal. You have guitar strings. It's like...
Yeah. First, I just tried to imitate Otomo, actually. Just playing stylus on the empty turntable and started with that. And then, okay, this is like, I don't know. I just realized... This is more like dragging a microphone on the street. Like, put stylus on this empty turntable. It's like a... Yeah. So, okay, this can be anything, I realized. Yeah.
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 So there were a lot of possibilities.
Yes, yes. Also, I mean, there was also a lot of the other musicians or performers using the turntables, but yeah. So, also stylus that can be anything. Yeah, not just stylus. Yeah, that's how I started with the sheet metals and yeah.
Yeah. Do you like performing?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But there is a limitation because this type of turntable is not really, these days it's not really easy to get. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in US, if it's like a local show, not really big venue, then I had some trouble to get this turntable.
Mm.
Yeah, so also I travel with my own platter because I mess up with platter. So yeah, I mess up with it. So I can't. I don't want to ruin other people's brand new.
It's very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So if I couldn't get the turntable, then I start to play only with platter.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then and objects. Yeah.
Is there such thing as like a bad performance for you?
Bad performance. If it's planned, that definitely there's a bad performance. Yeah, yeah. Like for example, I play with Yang Jun, the filmmaker. Mm. Sometimes I have to play like a soundtrack. Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes the soundtrack isn't so good.
No.
That you make.
No. Yes. Yeah. So that's bad sound. Bad performance. But yeah. Beside that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think you started listening? In this way before you started making this kind of music, or
no
it
happens simultaneously? It happened. Yeah.
Ah. Thank you. Could you tell me about that first experimental music concert? Oh, actually.
Yeah, I started to say about it.
Yeah, what you do?
There's a Japanese musicians gig in Seoul. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more than 10 years ago. I couldn't remember. But that was Otomo Yoshihide, Sachiko M, Taku Unami, and Axel Derner. And that concert was not loud. It's quite, how can I say, very soft. And very silent. Almost we couldn't hear anything, but we can see they playing. But this very tiny sound makes me really fascinating. And then I think it was first experience about this kind of experimental music. But it was really shocking at me, and so I just believe, maybe I just think I can try it. And then at that moment I was also tiring about my techno music, like it's always same. So when I coming back to my home, I put out all of the equipment and then make it empty, and then start to think about it, how to do it. And then, so maybe after that, it takes around 1 year to finding my own way to playing that kind of strange and experimental and unusual music. And then one night, I was in disappear. Despair. Because I couldn't find a way. So I tried to go to bed and then try to sleep. And then at midnight, I can hear the sound of a clock. Like this. Yeah. It's quite tiny. And then usually I couldn't hear it. But the moment I can listen, I can hear it. The sound, and then I was very shocked, and because I didn't know that the existence of the sound. It's my room, my bedroom. I living there more than 10 years, but I couldn't realize it. But after this experience, I can listen the sound. So I wake up and then I put out my clock and then open it, and then there's a very small, tiny machine inside, and it makes a sound, very acoustic machine sound. So next day I try to amplify the sound, and that's the start point of this kind of start point of experimental music.
Around what year was that?
It was 2005.
Okay.
2005.
So before that, you had experience. I mean, you were making techno music, so you had experience with music technology.
Yeah.
But maybe more of the commercial kind, of like synthesizers and.
Yeah.
And was it all analog at that point, or were you using the computer?
I couldn't understand.
Were you using the computer to make techno music when you were making that music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of just a MIDI.
Yeah.
Or just using for composition. So mostly sound came from synthesizer and sampler. And then I just using MIDI to control this with a laptop.
But the but at that point you didn't know about contact microphones and other technologies. Mm.
So I went to secondhand market to finding a big machine of clock. And then I found very interesting shop and very small. And then there's a lot of old clocks. And then the owner is a really crazy old man. But he gave me just machine inside the clock. Because, and then I realized that there's in Korea, traditional clock work has four types. So four types has different mechanism.
Really?
Yeah. And then sound also very little bit different. Each of them has different pattern of sound and texture also different. So I started to collect that clockwork. And then this crazy old man make it raise the price higher and higher and higher. So one day I complaining about it. Last time when I bought this same one, you asked me just to around 20.
Yeah.
But why now 50? It's more than double. But suddenly he said, "You should understand me." And then I couldn't say anything because he's very strict. You should understand me.
If you say anything back, maybe he doesn't
I couldn't
you.
Say anything. Because his face, his voice, his gesture, it's no negotiation. And then now the shop was gone, and then I'm sad about it.
Is that near here?
Yeah, it's not so far, but gentrification started. Mm-hmm. That area is half of the area, second-hand market area was collapsed to build a new building.
Is that the Seoul?
No, it's Hwanghak-dong. It's more, it's nearby of Jongno area.
Mm-hmm.
But this very famous traditional second-hand market, but now just little bit shop left, but we don't know when it's gone.
Yeah.
But it was very funny place and interesting. I remember Chalgi bought in same shop from this crazy old man, sine wave oscillator, old analog. Sine wave oscillator. It's really beautiful. Maybe it built in early 80s. It's a huge one. But he has this old man has two different type of oscillator and it worked well. So Chalgi was really crazy about it, and then he asked the price.
Yeah.
But he just think Chalgi believed it should be really expensive. But he just said, "It work. How's 80?" So Chalgi bought two together.
Wow, that seems like a good shop.
Yeah, it's really amazing shop, but. Now, yeah.
So at that point, when you were discovering your interest in clocks and the sound of them and trying to amplify the sound, were you listening to experimental music or were you still listening to the same music that you were before?
Maybe I started to listen to that kind of music. Kind of experimental music in that moment, because that time there's no internet, no internet, I couldn't remember. Yeah, but anyway, I don't have much. There's internet, but I don't have any clue about this kind of music. I don't know anybody in this musicians in this field. So it started from Otomo, Tachiko, and Takunami. And then I checked them, and I checked their music, and then it started to expand very quickly. And then I used to listen a lot of the musicians who linked with the Japanese noise music scene. Mm. And that moment, it's really interesting moment, because every album of the other artists, other musicians' album, give me another information or another way of this playing, another way of thinking. So all of the albums, what I got is kind of a book in the school.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have to say I learned this kind of music from other musicians, basically. Mm-hmm. I just found the clue of the sound from my clockwork, mm-hmm. but it's extended. And then I found many musicians doing very different kind of music. And then, yeah.
Yeah. And how did you link up with other musicians in Seoul and in Korea?
When I was in rock band and also techno musician, I knew one Korean noise duo called Astro Noise. It's Chalgi and Junyoung. They already did noise music, harsh noise duo in the time. And yeah, I also very interested in their music. But I don't have any understanding and information about improvised music. But noise music, what they did is, as a sound, it's really amazing. So I went to their gig with my another rock band friend, and he was really angry. But I was very enjoyed. Yeah, so after the concert, I argued with him. Yeah, and anyways, after that, I tried to contact with them, and then we can be a friend. And also, Sangtae, when I did techno music, he also started techno music, so I knew him. But some years passed, when I started to making experimental music with clockwork, I realized that he has interest to using light bulb,
yeah,
to make instrument. So I just said to him, yeah, let's do it together. And then I also asked Chalgi and Junyoung to doing something together. But in that time, one Japanese musician who lived in Seoul, he organizing concert series called Bulgasari.
Bulgasari?
Mm. It's a Korean monster name. So already Chalgi and Junyoung was involved in that concert series. So I went there several times, and then we started to think about we hope to focusing more improvised or experimental music. So we discussed a lot how to make concert series by ourselves, and then I started to organize, because I know how to get art fund, because I'm the only guy who graduated in art school. So I tried it, and first time I failed. The second time, we were success. I was success. So we running organization, consult organization called Relay. Relay. R-E-L-A-Y. And we start to invite many musicians from outside of Korea, from the fund. By the fund.
Yeah.
And then we have a chance to organize concert for Switzerland musicians, mm-hmm. but because we got news from them. Mm-hmm. They touring in Japan, so we have a fund. So from Japan to Korea is not so expensive. So let's try to invite them. So we invite them, and then one of them is Jason Kahn, the American, but now he lived in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So percussion and experimental music player. So they came to Korea and then they did a concert. And then Jace Khan wrote an article about that tour in Wire magazine. And it was a first time to rebuild mm-hmm. the Korean experimental music scene in outside. Because in European artists, when they touring in Asia, just Japan or China, because Korea, they don't have any crew and information. But after that, we can start to communicate more artists from outside of Korea, and then we try to get fund more and more to invite them. So I'm learning like this way around 4 or 5 years. Yeah, and then stop.
And is that when the fund ran out, or?
Yeah, it's a fund also. Every year I have to do it. It's also very quite stressful. And always fund was not enough. Yeah. So I have to using my own pocket money. So it's, and then that moment I was almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
So I have to finish it. But that time, our music also need to time to change. Because doing same thing around 4 or 5 years, yeah, it's not healthy.
And Relay started also in 2005 or late?
Yeah, maybe 2005.
And did it overlap with Totolim or?
No. Yeah, after that, Sangtae was a regular member mm-hmm. in Relay. And then we went to Japan together mm-hmm. because Otomo Yoshihide, he started to organize a small concert gig in his studio. The studio is quite small, and it's just inside of the building, so we couldn't play loudly. But Sangtae and I played there, and then maybe that space really influenced and impressed to Sangtae, because Sangtae running his business, but he has same size of the office. So he started to, automatically and naturally, he started to think about, why not? We can do this. I can do this. So after I finish organize the Relay, mm-hmm. and maybe 1 year passed, and then Sangtae started Totolim.
Yeah, probably in like 2009 about?
Yeah.
I think that's the earliest videos. I think some of them have even Jason Kahn.
Yeah.
And then all of you guys in different combinations.
Yeah, so I have to say Jason Kahn was a very important people and thankful people of our Korean scene. And then, yeah, so kind of tradition, I don't want to say like that, but of this kind of our tiny scene is moved to totally like a kind of base camp, something like that. And then until now, it's running.
Let's take a coffee break and make it the sound of
Ah. Tip, 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 tip jump, 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 jump,